This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And here in the Sunbury Motors studio, happy Thursday to you. Great to be joined by one of the best in the business. That's Dennis Dodd. Dennis, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
I hope you're doing well, by the way. Let's get to some of our favorite topics, and that would be I always refer to these now as the Kessler cases because he's the one that's central figure in all of them. But they're sitting down, and they've been instructed to go through settlement talks. What have you learned from those settlement talks, and is there any opening that they can get this done before the trial starts in January?
Well, the story that emerged this week is that the Power Four are attempting to institute a revenue-sharing plan with players. We don't know exactly who players, basketball, football, all of them, all of the minor sports, as a way to facilitate the settlement for the House case. Now, that doesn't necessarily settle the other cases, but which... as you said, Jeffrey Kessler has some of them. He doesn't have all of them. I think if they did settle this one, the House case is huge. It would indicate to a jury that there has been made progress in the antitrust area. What they want to do is avoid going to a jury. But they have to get House settled first because it goes to trial in January. We're 9 months away. That's in legal years, that's like a heartbeat.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to do this week.
All right, and are there two parts to this? One is damages to those who have gone through this but never were compensated, and those who are currently involved. Does that sound right?
The class, from what I've read, the class in House, the class of athletes, is about 7,000. Who have the 2018 to 2020, that was the period they put in the lawsuit, that weren't properly compensated for their NIL rights and money from the broadcast contract. And a lawsuit, they estimate that to be something like $1.4 billion. Okay. If they lose at trial, I'm just giving you an example here, automatically in U.S. law, antitrust, you lose a trial, damages for treble.
Right.
They would be on the hook, NCAA in the schools, for $4.2 billion. That would essentially end the NCAA. Go forward piece, they want to settle, like just off the book. There's no money. I'm just trying to change the landscape with that lawsuit. These players get paid. So that's another reason why it's so important.
Yeah, when he means treble, this isn't the USFL case for a dollar that ended up at three.
No.
It's a little bit more.
No, not that.
No. Now, Trev Alberts, and it may have been talking to boosters, whomever, I don't know, mentioned that he threw out the numbers of 15 to 20 million per year that athletic departments would have to come up with. Dennis, what would that then mean for athletic departments who are sitting there and have probably done 3 to 5 year projections and never counted on this being in there?
Yeah, you must have read my story for a couple of weeks ago. That's exactly what I wrote about. How do ADs do future budgets with this hanging over their heads? And the answer was they can't. But that number is accurate, that they would be on the hook for $15 to $20 million each on average in the Power Four. I had written a story, gosh, earlier this year. These questions pop into my head. So how could they afford it? It's another massive expense. Well, they can't afford it. The athletic department can borrow from the school. The school could borrow from a bank if it's that big. And as I was told in research for this story, universities are absolutely great customers for banks because the banks know they're going to get their money back.
Right.
We're not talking about a year. It could be a 30-year note. It could be like, you know, it could be like buying a house.
Yeah.
So they can afford it. State subsidies, what have you. The bigger issue is getting it done so they can progress. Even if they get this done, if they get this settled, these lawsuits settled, it doesn't stop the spigot of possible lawsuits. It doesn't stop NIL, and it doesn't stop collectives. So I've come to the conclusion, Steve, that I think, just, you know, cutting to the chase, it's going to have to be employee-employer relationship, collective bargaining. You can get rid of all this stuff. That'll take another few years, probably. But this is a step.
And yes, I do read all your stuff. You know that.
Somebody does. You're the guy.
I'm the guy. Just like every once in a while you hear me do a game, you're the guy.
So, that's right.
So, Dennis, the next part is, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl hosted it, where they had the bowl reps. How important could collective bargaining be to solving their opt-out problem?
Well, this speaks to the reason why you need collective bargaining and an employee-employer relationship. You can't compel players to participate. No pro player has written into his contract, you have to play in the World Series. You have to play in the Stanley Cup. Why would you? Yeah, you'd be foolish. Your agency, you'd be foolish to do that. Why would you do that? Why hurt yourself? There's a legal term called a specific performance clause that applies here that you don't see in those contracts. Specific performance says, it has nothing to do with money. It's something like if you have, let's say, a prenuptial agreement and you get divorced and one person gets the dog, you have to do that. That's a specific performance. No one can compel you to play. Now, can you write it into an agreement? Again, I think they'd be dumb to write that in there, because who is going to decide, for instance, if you're healthy enough to play? If you want the right to opt out, if you're Bryce Young and the decision for a playoff is $30 million guaranteed, number one choice, you might break your leg playing four extra games. You know, and I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying those are the factors here. So when I saw that story, I said it was from two sources who absolutely are interested in players playing in bowls. The head of the bowls, Nick Carparelli, and Eric Moses, who's the head of the Fiesta Bowl. But I made some calls this morning. You can't compel players to participate.
What if they have a contract that would state that if in given year, whatever game we play in, you have to be available for?
Well, I think the collectives could do it, but
yeah.
And, you know, if those players are getting any kind of representation at all, you know, that would have to be scrutinized. And then you're talking about, to make it stick, every collective doing it, you know, to do the deal. So, you know, again, if I'm Caleb Williams, I don't have that in my deal, because, you know, I can go somewhere else to get the money where it's not in my deal. If I get up there and I'm the number one draft choice, we're probably talking about a very small amount of players.
Sure.
But I don't know if there's a way. I think there's a way. In fact, I know there's a way you can reward players for participating. I mean, there's already word out there that Fox was trying to put together a postseason basketball tournament with their TV partners, Big 12, Big 10, I forget who else, schools that didn't make the tournament.
Big East.
And then they would, Big East, and they, players would get money, NIL money, for participating. But that's not the same thing. We're talking about two different things.
Right. They are two different things. Traditionally, in your research, how tough a negotiator is Kessler?
He's the best. You don't want to be tangled up with him. This is a guy who, through many of the machinations we're talking about right now, created the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would submit, along with the Major League Baseball Players Association, maybe the most powerful labor union on earth, one of them. So when I called him the other night to get a comment on this revenue sharing thing, he didn't have a comment. He didn't want to speculate on it. But I think he sees a way here because, look, he's going to get whatever his money is, 30% or whatever it is. I think he wants these done too, but he is a change agent. He is going to be the guy when they write the book, if and when we have employee-employee relationships in college, who is going to be in the first sentence of the first chapter. He's a Marvin Miller type. Although Marvin Miller represented players, this guy he's representing players as well. He's going to be that change agent.
You need to have a change agent or agents on the other side, though. So who are the change agents and the leaders on that side that can help make it happen so that he does become the ultimate change agent?
You mean agents that represent players?
I'm talking about the people that would negotiate the side to open the door to get this settled. Who's the leadership on that side?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think you have to assume that the Big Ten and SEC are the leaders in that right now. In fact, I wrote that earlier this week because they've got the means and they've got the motivation. Obviously, the ACC and Big 12 are also involved. But, I think you can assume the two commissioners of those or the four commissioners of those leagues are involved, and then the general counsels of those leagues.
Tony Petitti has a wide range of in his background. How much can that help? Because he does have that wide range, whether it's TV or the negotiations and so forth.
I think I think him and Greg Sankey, in my personal opinion, are the leaders in this. They're very smart. They want to get this finalized. Whether it does to the point where there are no more massive lawsuits, I don't know. But I think they are being progressive and taking the next step. You remember on February 1st, they announced that joint advisory group between the two conferences, and that was really ominous, I thought, at the time. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. They're not separating, but they're saying, we got this. And I think that's part of that. I was told the joint advisory group isn't involved in this, but the people I just described, I think, are involved in this to get this to the next level.
Have you had any thoughts at all or conversation with anybody about, there's been a lot of expansion. Texas and Oklahoma paid the way to get out for the last year. Oregon and Washington are now in. Are wondering about Florida State. What are, if anything, are you hearing about Florida State?
Nothing lately, only that conceptually, if Florida State and Clemson get their way, then that provides a blueprint for the likes of Miami, maybe Virginia, North Carolina. And then the discussion becomes, is it a Big Three where the other schools sort of matriculate to the Big 12? And the ones I just mentioned are gobbled up by the Big Ten and SEC, or does the ACC continue to exist just in a diminished fashion? But there, from what I've read, and I don't, and all the court filings, it looks like there is a way out. It looks like name your price. There is a way they can buy out of this Florida State, and then the other ones would have to. They have to get out first, and then the SEC and Big Ten can move in. I don't see any reason why Florida State the SEC would want Florida State. They've got the state of Florida with Florida. Right. I'm sure Florida would be very against that. But Texas and Texas A&M are in the same conference, so
right, never exactly. Right, never say never. But there's also to me, for the conferences, there's a common sense element that comes into play. Texas, Oklahoma played 3 years in the Big 12, then bought out the last year. Right, Oregon and Washington came in a reduced number in the Big Ten. Common sense tells me that doesn't line up for Florida State of getting a jackpot if they get out.
No, that's why this is a thing. There are 12 years left in the ACC contract.
That's right.
I think ESPN can re-up. There's a look in 2027, I think.
Okay.
And look, if you're ESPN, why wouldn't you renew it? You've got those schools at a bargain basement price. That's why they signed the deal.
Right.
That's the difference. Texas and Oklahoma in 21 were 3 or 4 years out from the end of their contract with the Big 12 and the rights holders, and they in fact gave notice in May of that year before they left that we're not going to renew the grant of rights. Well, that should have told you something.
Sure.
You know, with Florida, Pac-12, obviously it was collapsing around them.
Yeah.
Less than a year to go. So that's the huge difference. So there's a lot of money in rights fees left in 12 years.
A lot of money left. Dennis, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I know you jumped on with us late, and we appreciate it as always. And yes, I do read everything.
You'll be held. It'll be a test at the end of the semester, Steve.
I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on. bring it on.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. You bet, Dennis. The outstanding Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Yes, I do read everything he writes because he's just, there's certain people that are connected and have insight. He's got both. All right. We will come back this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Yeah, happy Thursday, everybody. Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I mean, it's another beautiful day out there today. So stock up for the weekend. Got the Kentucky Derby. Took Girardi on the show tomorrow. We'll get his Derby pick. And see what he thinks. I will start out with the absurdity of Bob Baffert not being allowed to be there, which means Muth will not be there. Of course, I think that could have won this thing. But the reason that it's the 150th, and I don't think they want him there to overshadow it. Okay. Well, there you go. Interesting.
usually when entities make decisions like that, it only puts more emphasis on what they don't want emphasized.
Of course it does. Look, these are not the brightest bulbs on the planet. Come on.
Well, this is true.
Hey, come on. Oh, goodness gracious.
We don't want Bob Baffert to overshadow it, but everybody's going to be talking about Bob Baffert not being there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, more next half hour. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on the show today. And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Last night, the Celtics blew out the Miami Heat. So they get through the first round, expected, and they now move on. What last night brought with it, though, was the end of the broadcasting career as the play-by-play voice of the Celtics from Mike Gorman. 43 seasons. He had told them last July, and he told everybody last July, this would be his final season. Gorman is a pro's pro. Calls the game. Always tells the great story about first time he got the job. And it's interesting, there's a linkage. And that Mike and I have, and that is Gil Santos. Mike was looking to get into broadcasting, and so he went over to WBZ. You know, they have guards and everything there. It's, you know, because it's a radio and TV operation. And he wanted to see Gil Santos. He figured if anybody could open maybe a door, it would be him, or at least give him advice, it would be him. And, you know, he's at the gate. He really can't get in until they notice that he had either an Air Force or an Air National Guard hat in his back seat. And the guy said, "You serve?" He goes, "Yeah, no, I fly jets." He goes, "Really?" And that the guard did the same thing, opened the door, and he got a chance to talk with Gil. And for me, of course, Gil Santos, I was the third broadcaster on the Penn State Football Network. And between 1983 and 1986, those four seasons, I had Gil Santos and John Grant to work with. How lucky was I? I was able to sit there and learn from two great guys, and Gil as a play-by-play announcer, really unparalleled. There's so much I learned from him that I still incorporate today. And that's the linkage that the two of us have. It was how much I learned from Gil and how Gil opened doors for Mike. He said going in, you know, last game, you know, he knew any game in the playoff could be his last game. And he said, "Look, I haven't really thought about it." He said, "Everyone asked me, what are you going to say at the end?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I really don't know." He says, "Maybe I won't know until the final seconds as to what I'll say." So you know, you're looking at a guy that meant so much to Boston fans up there. And so they put together a piece last night, starting with Paul Pierce.
Pride, the voice of so many different eras, man.
It's hard to think of the Celtics without thinking of your voice and the stories you
Brad
brought
Stevens.
To life in every living room in New England.
The
best
Bob
thing
Cousy.
I can say about my friend Michael Gorman is that he is the ultimate professional.
Not just with what you did on with Tommy and everybody else, but more importantly, the human part, what you did as far as relationships. Thank you, man. Enjoy your retirement.
And I hope that your health and passion continue and that your golf game improves a lot. I'm very honored to call you friend.
One of the true blessings in my life has been able to tell people that Mike Gorman is my friend. So with much admiration, much respect, and so much love, I say thank you.
Everybody in the league still wants to be just like you. Mike, congratulations. Thanks for being the best.
Mike Gorman, congratulations, man. Well done.
4 to 3 years. Enjoy retirement.
We love you, Mike.
We love you, Mike. Congratulations yes. on a Hall of Fame career.
One of the game's greats, man. You know, one of the game's greats.
Wow. If, I don't know what to say, really. For the past 45 years, it's been an honor and my distinct pleasure to have been the voice of the Boston Celtics. I'll be forever grateful to this ownership for treating my family as they treat their own, and special thanks to all who welcomed Tommy, Scal, and me into your homes all winter long when there was a cold night going on outside. You turned us on, and that just couldn't have been better. There's no place I would rather have been. So, Boston, thank you. Good night.
That's how he signed off. You're talking about those of you who watched in the 80s and 90s Big East basketball. Mike Gorman was that voice, mostly working with Dave Gavitt. But we wanted to just pay tribute to him. 43 seasons with the Celtics. And he leaves on his own terms. He tells a great story about, you know, Heinsohn. He goes in. He's got to do his first game. He's all set. He's got a stack of papers. He's set to go. He's done all this research. Heinsohn takes the stack, holds him over the garbage can, and drops him in. He says, "Mike, why don't we just go out there and talk about what we see?"
He may have been right, but that's not good for the nerves on the first night on the job, I bet.
Probably not. probably not, but that is actually, look, everybody knows, I'll do it from my perspective, everybody knows I prepare, right? Because I want to make sure I go out there, and in case something happens, I have it. All right? In case something happens, I have it. You know, Nick Singleton goes over 100 yards. It's his sixth time in his career. I have it. Puff Johnson scores 20 points. It's the first time in his career he's broken the 20-point barrier. Because his career high is 19. Right? And that's, you know. So you want to make sure you're prepared for all of that. You know, but in reality, what you do and what Jack Ham and I do and what Dick Girardi and I do, and I know because Mike and I have talked about this, so it's not like, you know, and because Mike's kind of Penn State game. We're two guys sitting there watching a football game talking about it. Dick and I are two guys sitting there watching a basketball game talking about it. What do we see? What don't we see? That really is the job. Everyone wants to complicate. I mean, I always have a running joke. People ask me about the job, and I say they point me toward the field or court, and I talk. It's always the running joke. And Tommy Heinsohn was not wrong. He was right. He says, "Hey, let's just talk about what we see." And in the end, That's what Mike and Tommy did. That's what Mike and Dave Gavitt did. You know, and I know from our perspective of Penn State, that's what Jack Ham and I do, and that's what Dick Girardi and I do. That's what we do. Right?
I would say it's easier to connect when you feel that way, because it's more natural. If you're reading off a script, you sound like a robot.
Right. Well, see that, and this is what I've tried to talk to my students in my class about baseball play-by-play. There's so much in baseball play-by-play where there are numbers for this and this and this and this and this, and I feel like you can take a broadcast and bog it down into the ground if you're doing 1,500 numbers during the course of 3 hours. Because my point to them is there's so much more happening in baseball than people realize. So I tell them, will there be numbers? Sure, a guy comes to the plate. I'll tell you, what's his batting average? How many home runs? How many runs he knocked in? How many extra base hits does he have? Is he 0 for his last 10? Is he 5 for his last 10? Just give the audience an idea, like he's hot, he's not. Quick stuff like that. Hey, he's on a roll of late. He's 5 of his last 10. He's had a great series. Okay. But then after that, what's the count? What kind of pitch is it? Where's the infield setup? Left-handed hitter. Shortstop's near the bag. Third baseman's off the line. How are they lined up in the outfield? There's a runner on. How big's the lead for the runner? I said, little things like that. I said, you can be describing the entire time to give everybody the flavor of what's going on, then slipping in, hey, look, don't forget the next homestand's coming up, because you have time to do that. Right? I said, there's so much more going on than, I said, and I'll say to them, I said, let's talk about numbers for a moment. I said, how many of you follow baseball, believe in war, wins above replacement? And a couple of hands go up, a few hands. I said, okay. I said, well, I have a blackboard here. Explain to me how you arrive at the number. And, of course, nobody can do it. That wasn't to put pressure on them. I was trying to make the point, and the point was simple. If you're using numbers, use numbers the audience can relate to. Right? They can relate to a batting average. They can relate to a shooting percentage. They can relate to yards per carry. They can relate to all that. They know what it is. But, for example, I'll give you one, QBR, quarterback rating. If we see quarterback rating, how do you calculate it? I can tell you how ERA is calculated. I can tell you, obviously, passing percentage, and now that's calculated. But how do you calculate QBR? So, and I say, if you don't know how to do it, to me it has then no meaning. If the announcer and the audience don't know how to calculate it, then what is the relevancy of the number? Because in the end, the only reason you are sitting there with your broadcast partner and your engineer, right? Or in football, we have a producer and an engineer. The only reason you're sitting there is because of the audience. That's the only reason. The audience means everything to what we do. Everything. Not a little bit. Everything. So you try to do stuff that relates to them. I thought Mike always did that. So it goes back to the Tommy Heinsohn thing, where he said, that's what we've done. Yeah, that's what he's done. He did that for years. Just talked about what he saw. Well, that's essentially, that's what we do. Yeah. Do you prepare for things? Sure. Right? You know, I mean, Julian Fleming goes out and gets a 100-yard receiving game. I can tell everybody it's his second career 100-yard receiving game. Okay. You just slip that in there as a note because you prepared it. But you don't go into it going, hey, by the way, no. You do it after the fact, and you're prepared to say it in case you need it. But that to me is preparation. And also, like, obviously, who's playing? Yeah, football, we've got how many different players out there? Basketball, you know, each side probably is using 9 apiece.
By the way, I looked up how to figure out QBR.
Yeah.
It's a 21-paragraph explanation.
Yeah. Right. See, that's why I like working with this guy. He takes the time to do this stuff.
Really? If you need 21 paragraphs to figure out something, it's probably a little beyond a broadcast.
Right. I mean, I give people who do these things all the credit in the world, because it takes work to come up with an idea like that and then execute it. So I give them a lot of credit for that. I also give them credit for, I feel like those who do sabermetrics, for example, especially in baseball, I think it brought more people to the table who want to know more about baseball. Now that I think is really great as well. As a broadcaster, it's important to me, as well as Jack Ham and Dick Girardi, that we talk about whatever it is where the audience can relate to what we're talking about. Now, Dick does a great job. I mean, phenomenal job. He really educates an audience during the course of a game. Jack does a great job because he really educates an audience during the course of the game. I feel the best analysts, and I work with the two best, if you know more about the game, and I don't mean just the game in front of you, but the game as a whole, by the time you're done with a couple of hours of basketball or 3.5 hours of football, if you know more about it, man, have they done their job. And these two guys, as you know, Jack and Dick, do their job. When the game's over, Penn State fans know more about the game. That's really important. Well, Mike was the kind of guy that made everybody around him better, gave everybody credit around him, and brought the best out of Tommy Heinsohn. And Mike will probably tell you that Tommy Heinsohn brought the best out in him. You know, but that's the way it should work. Believe me. You don't think Jack Ham and Dick Girardi don't make me way better than... I mean, of course they do. Way better. I'm way better because I work with them. Way better. So congratulations to him on 43 seasons as the voice of the Boston Celtics. And the run came to an end last night because the Celtics eliminated the Heat, and local broadcasters on TV only get to do the first round of the NBA playoffs. They do not get a chance to do anything beyond that. So that's why we know last night was his last game. Congrats. He may not be... Again, fans around here would know who he is. I mean, if you follow Big East basketball, Mike Gorman was the guy on ESPN and others, right, with Dave Gavitt, Bill Raftery, whomever, doing Big East basketball in the 80s and 90s. You watch Requiem for the Big East, Requiem, right, that the 30 for 30 ESPN did, and Mike's all over. Mike's all over that. So you would know Mike. All right, we'll take a break. Half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Oh, by the way, note from the suit. Suit the Greek writes, I eagerly await Dick Girardi's exacta pick. I need a good winner this year.
That's a lot of pressure on Dick.
I would like to point out that often many of us have walked up to the suit and said, yeah, you're a real winner. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
All right. Great to have you with us. Half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. All right. So, the... We're right at the end of the transfer portal here. Now, just because the portal is come and gone, because this is May 2nd, you have 48 hours. Sometimes it takes as much as 48 hours before it's posted. So that's why you're waiting to see. We'll find out if anybody else has put their name in by the end of this. This is all part of the way it is in college football today. That's why the opening conversation with Dennis Dodd. It's when Dennis talked about athletic departments taking out loans and so forth, you know, to pay back these numbers. If they have to then end up especially paying back that, what, 17 to 21 group? 2017 to 2021 group? I mean, I'm sorry, that's a hard way to run a business. And yes, it is a business. I don't care what anybody says, it's a business. We all know it's a business.
When you're talking $15 to $20 million a year, it certainly is a business, and billions of dollars of TV contracts.
Yeah. But see, not everybody can afford that. I brought up Pitt. Pitt's in the ACC. Their TV contract is $36 to $38 million a year. And then you add in the bowl stuff, things like that. Suddenly out of nowhere, you can afford $15 million? They can't afford $15 million.
Don't forget, that's just to pay the current athletes. Whatever the damages are going to be is going to be even more.
That's right.
Oof.
That is right. Exactly right. Big problem.